Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that it brings life. I mean, it causes us to come alive when we get into your word. It blows our mind. It sometimes offends our mind, but it brings life. It causes us, even as that word came to us this morning from you, God, it causes us to grow and to remain even when the storms are coming, to produce fruit, to be useful, to bless others. God, your word is so good. We love your word. And so we open up our hearts and our minds to you and to your word this morning because we want to grow in you and glorify you. We love you, Lord, and we love your word. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Well, this morning, we are continuing our series called Real Faith, Real Life. Again, if we're going to really live life, then we really need faith. This morning we're going to take a look at audacious faith. Real faith is audacious faith. Let me put up on the screen some definitions of the word audacious. Audacious means showing a willingness to take bold risks, being unrestrained. We can have that kind of faith? Unrestrained, yeah. Some synonyms of the word audacious are fearless, bold, daring, hardy, brave, venturesome. And all the young boys in the room are like, oh man, this is going to be my kind of sermon. And the guys are starting to grunt. Yes, audacious, brave, bold, venturesome faith. The Bible is filled with examples of this kind of faith. The early church of Acts lived out this kind of faith. And we, the church today, right here, we're called to live out this kind of audacious faith. Not holding back, going all in, behaving with confident disregard for personal comfort. That word came to us earlier today. Sometimes when we step out in faith and even being filled with the Holy Spirit and operating in the things of God, sometimes it doesn't end up all comfortable. Sometimes it gets a little messy and even a little dangerous. We're called to live that way. If that's where God takes us, that's where we go. And we go there with audacity, boldly, bravely. We go there, completely abandoned to God's plans. Look, I want this kind of faith. I really do. I long for more audacious faith in my own life. That faith that will make me daring, that will make me bold, that will make me fearless. A kind of faith where I'm not waking up just kind of trotting through another day dealing with the issues of life, but where I wake up excited, ready for another battle and another victory. Ready to see God move in me and through me. I want to live that way. Where the chains that hold us back are broken off once and for all. Taken away, gone forever and good. Where churches like Evident Life Church become powerful agents of change in our world, bringing God's kingdom for real. Moving in power. Moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Bringing His presence. Ministering to other people. Showing the love of God in real, tangible ways. Audacious faith. Church that's operating in audacious faith is a church that will make a difference and not just be another meeting on Sunday mornings, another place for people to come and kind of check the box. I've been to church. No, a church that's really living and operating in audacious faith is a church that's going to make a difference. It's going to be a church that's going to actually cause the enemy to tremble and fear us. Because we actually believe that God will do what He said He's going to do. We actually believe that God is a miracle-working God. We actually believe that God is able to change a nation, to change a heart. Look, we are alive right now for a reason. Do you know that you were born, when you were born, for a reason? For such a time as this. For everything, it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a purpose under heaven. You were born for such a time as this. You were born, God formed you in your mother's womb. He was thinking about you as He was forming you. He was dreaming about your destiny and all the different things that He had planned for your life. The different adventures for you to go on. The people's lives that you were going to affect and love on. God created you with just so many dreams in mind. You're here for a reason, right now for a reason. He has God-sized plans for every one of us, big things for us to see, big things for us to do if we're just audacious enough to grab hold of it, believe it, and then walk in it. Look, I don't want to sleep through life. I don't want to sleep through all of the things that God has planned for me. I don't want that. Look, on Sunday mornings, often I will go home after church, get home at about 1 or 1:30 finally, and usually grab some food, turn on the television, and if there's a basketball game on, I watch the basketball game. The bummer is I don't have, it's not a bummer, it's a good thing. I only have rabbit ears, so I really only get to watch basketball on the weekends because I don't get ESPN and all the other channels. That's a good thing. I get to do things like yesterday, I played marbles with the kids. I won 3 out of 3 yesterday. The night before, I lost like all 3 games, so you know how it goes. You're only as good as your last game though, kids. So anyway, I usually go home on Sunday afternoon, and I'll grab something to eat, and we'll sit down, we'll watch basketball. I love basketball. I coach basketball. I'm very competitive when it comes to basketball, and I love to help these young men get really good so we can win the games. So I'm watching basketball, and I love basketball. But you know what I end up doing during that basketball game? I fall asleep. I sleep through most of the game. I wake up. I find out who won the game. And you know what? It doesn't matter that I slept through the game. If I was awake, it wouldn't have changed a thing. The score wouldn't have changed. Who won or lost, it wouldn't have changed. I got a nap. It was even better that I slept through the whole thing, right? But it's okay for me to sleep through a basketball game that's on television. Now, if I'm coaching it, I better not sleep through it. That'd be a bad thing. But I don't want to sleep through life. I don't want to miss any of what God has for me. I don't want to settle for anything less than. I don't want that. I don't want to live a cozy, comfortable, complacent afternoon nap kind of life where I'm just settling for all the stuff the world wants to occupy my time with. I don't want to sleep through it. I don't want to settle for it. I want to live with audacious faith. I want the ball. You know what I'm saying? I want to be on the court, I want the ball, and I want to make a difference. Because I can sleep through watching a game on television and it makes no difference. The score is going to be the same. But if I sleep through life and I don't grab hold of and step out in faith and actually live the life that God created me to live, it can make a difference in others around me, in me and in others, in the whole kingdom perspective. It can make a difference because you were created on purpose for a purpose. To do special things that God created you to do. And when you don't show up and you sleep through it, there are consequences to you and to others. I don't want to sleep through it, folks. This morning, we're going to look at the life of a man named Joshua. This is a man who decided that he wasn't going to settle and that he was not going to sleep through life. But instead, he was going to live with bold, fearless, audacious faith. You ready for this? Most of you are familiar with Joshua. Joshua and Jericho, right? Now, if you know this song, I want you to sing it with me right now. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. And the walls. Yes! Amen! That's right. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. But even before Jericho, we see that Joshua was a young man who had embraced audacious faith. Remember the spies? Moses helps lead the Israelites out of slavery. They send the spies into the promised land to check it out. All the spies, except for two, come back. And they're like, whoa, man. There's some giants over there. They're big. It's scary. It's no good. We can't do it. We can't do it, man. They're just too big. Too many of them. Too big. We cannot go in that land. That's what all the spies said, except for these two young, audacious men named Caleb and Joshua. By the way, Phil and Angie, I love the name of your sons. Come on, Caleb and Joshua. These two young men, these two whippersnappers, these two young men, they come back with a completely different perspective. They come back and say, whoa, they're big and there are a lot of them and we can take them out. We can take them out. Why? Because if God is for us, who can be against us? No problem. Look at Numbers 14, verses 7 through 9. This is what Joshua and Caleb have to say. They say, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. How many of you know that God has an exceedingly good land for you? I mean, in the Spirit, an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, they said, He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only, do not rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Okay, I love that. Basically, they're saying, don't fear them, because God is for us. We're going to eat them for lunch. No problem. They're bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. See, they're seeing this in the Spirit. They're seeing this with God's eyes. They went into the promised land and they looked at it through God's eyes with audacious faith, knowing who God is and who they are, the people of God. And so they're looking at it through His eyes and they're saying, look, we're seeing with spiritual eyes that their protection, it's gone. It's been removed from them and the Lord is with us, so do not fear them. Again, notice the difference. Caleb and Joshua. Their perspective, completely different. Joshua's response after seeing the same thing as the other guys is he wasn't full of fear. He was full of faith, audacious faith, boldness, fearlessness, complete confidence in God. Joshua and Caleb understood that when God's on our side, we will win. Period. It's actually reminded me from a basketball perspective again. Remember the first Dream Team with Michael Jordan and all those guys? I mean, that first Dream Team. And they went over to play in the Olympics. And you were just like, it's not even fair. Nobody can beat them. It's not even a fair deal. That's Joshua and Caleb's understanding. They're like, God's for us. We are the Dream Team now. God is for us. It's not even a fair fight. Not even a fair fight. They were looking at the same thing as those other guys, but they were looking through different eyes, through eyes of faith. And that those eyes of faith came from an understanding, knowing who God is. Some of you need to hear this today. God's on your side. Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you a child of God? Are you? Yeah, okay. Then who's on your side? If God's for you, then who can be against you? Whatever it is that's coming against you in life right now, whatever that giant, whatever those armies, whatever that is that you feel like is too big, that you're getting all fearful and worried about, why? God's for you. Trust the Lord. Trust in Him. Unfortunately, in the case of the Israelites, they went right back into the wilderness instead of the promised land, didn't they? They ended up giving into fear instead of into faith. They listened to the words of fear instead of the words of faith. Fear kept them from their God-ordained destiny. Fear kept them from walking into God's promises. Fear caused them to waste 40 years of their lives. Fear. The promised land was right there, ready to be taken. God was on their side. They could have walked into it right then. Instead, they walked away from the promises of God. And they wasted 40 years of their lives. Notice, when we walk by fear instead of by faith, where do we end up? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. Lord's just, I think, saying even right now, some of us, we're trying to create our own promised land. And we're trying to enter into our own promised land. Our promised land that looks like the comfortable life and the cozy life and everything's safe and everything's all this and all that. And that's what we have decided our promised land is. And so we're striving to get into that promised land. God says, no, I got this promised land. It's so much better. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it may physically seem a little more difficult. Yeah, it doesn't look exactly like yours, but it's really the promised land I have for you. I don't know, I just felt like that was a word from the Lord for somebody here today. Trust God, go into the promised land that He has created for you. Don't strive to create your own and go into your own. Okay, now fast forward. Moses has passed away. Moses is gone. Joshua is now the leader. They've moved into the promised land, but still they must fight and drive out the enemy. You're like, what? They're in the promised land. Everything's milk and honey, baby. Everything's chilling out on the couch. You know, it's all good. Right? I'm in the promised land. Isn't that what the promised land's all about? Everything's easy now once you cross over into the promised land. They cross over in the promised land, and they still must fight and drive out the enemy. Let's camp on that for just a moment. Look, we know that God has a promised land for each one of us who are in Christ Jesus. And like I just said, it may look different than what you think it should look like. All right? A lot of us get offended at God, or we walk away from our faith because we create our own promised land, and we get offended that God doesn't get on board with us. All right, deal with that. Get on board with God's plan for your life. Stop trying to make Him and His blessings fit into your plan. All right, stop that. Sound like Dad right there, don't I? Come on, kids, stop that. But look at this. So they walk into the promised land, and they still have to battle and fight for it. Look, we're new creations in Christ. We have a new destiny in Christ Jesus. The plans that He has for us are good, to prosper us, not to harm us. They're incredible, wonderful plans. He has this promised land that we can live in right now. But there are still enemies that need to be driven out. There's still a battle going on. And this is what Joshua and the Israelites are doing. They've already taken Jericho. Again, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. All right, thank you. Thank you. They fought the battle. Now they're marching boldly and victoriously into the promised land. But standing before them are five Amorite armies. Five armies. You would think Joshua would go, wait a minute, God. I crossed over like You told us to. I stepped out in faith. Why are we having all these battles? Why is it so hard? Why do we have to keep fighting? Five armies? Come on, Lord. Am I really walking in His plan? Am I really hearing from the Lord? Because there's some armies there. Maybe we ought to go back. Look, they'd already done that. They had been there and done that as a nation. They already walked away from the promised land back into the wilderness for 40 years. Too many times we find ourselves doing that same thing. We're up, we will believe we're walking in the promises and in the plans that God has for us. And as soon as we hit five Amorite armies or whatever it is in your life, you go, uh-oh, must be going the wrong direction. Whoop, turn around, run back to where you were. We never go forward. They walk in the promised land, they still have to battle and fight the enemy. So is Joshua all worried? Is he all upset at God? No. No. See, Joshua hasn't changed. He's still a man of audacious faith. He still knows who God is, and he knows who He is. He's not shaken. He looks at the army, and so what does he do? He engages them in battle. Because God is still for them. He goes after them with everything they have. And then he prays one of the most audacious prayers ever recorded in history. You see, what was going on here is that the Israelite army was defeating the Amorites, all five armies. They were defeating them. And Joshua knew that God said, you need to completely destroy them and take them out. The problem is that the sun was beginning to set. It was getting dark and they hadn't finished the battle. They hadn't completed the task yet that God had given them to complete. And so what does Joshua do? Does he say, oh, bummer, I guess we heard wrong from God. We almost got it done. I guess we're just not good enough, you know, to get done what God called us to do. No, he didn't. What Joshua did, knowing what God had said to do, he says, God, you told us to engage these five armies. You said that we would take them out, and you told us to completely destroy them. It's getting dark. We need it to remain light so we can finish the job. And so he prays a prayer, and he asks God to stop the sun from setting. He asks God, would you cause time to stand still so that we can finish the task that you've given us? That's audacity. That's audacious faith to pray. Ask God to stop time. When's the last time you did that? Lord, I need more time to finish this ministry. Would you just cause time to stop? Joshua did that. Let's look at Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14. Joshua asking God for the unbelievable, the unthinkable, and the impossible. Verse 12. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, oh my. So he said this in front of everyone. It wasn't just like some private prayer. Oh God, oh Lord, help me. Oh, I don't want to look foolish. Please help me, God. No, he stood up in front of everyone and he prayed this audacious faith-filled prayer in front of Israel, the whole nation. He said, Son, I love this. In fact, look at how he prayed. Look at what's recorded here in Scripture. He didn't say, oh God, please help me. If it's your will, would you please do this? Look at what he prayed. Joshua said, Son, he just stated this. He just said this. He said, Son, stand still at Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajon. And what does it say? And the sun stood still. And the moon stopped. Time was suspended. Boom. He believed it. He prayed for it. He believed. And he knew that he was praying the will of God. Because God had told them to do something. He knew that he was in God's will. And so he prayed for that thing that they needed to complete the will of God. Until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. You know, we read this and we're enamored by it. We're like, wow, that was incredible. But I want to say that God is still a sun-stopping God. He's still a sun-stopping God. I want us to think about this. I mean, really think about this. What does it mean to live with this kind of audacious faith instead of kind of church attendance, safe kind of faith? What does it mean to live this kind of faith that Joshua is exhibiting right here? We can live this way. We can get in line with God's plans and believe God for these kind of big things to accomplish His plans. Look, we got to trade in our tricycles and we got to get that Formula One race car out because that's the kind of faith that we're called to be riding in. It's okay to start off on a tricycle. We need the extra wheel in the beginning, but we've got to be anxious to kind of move away from that and get on with things and get into that Formula One race car and really take off with God. He has some big plans for us. He has plans like this that He gave Joshua. armies to defeat. He has spiritual victories that he wants to give us in our lives. He has ground that he wants us to take, and he wants us to believe for it. God is still a sun-stopping God. He's done it before. He can do it again. Do we really believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do we? Sometimes we believe this lie that God's already done the biggest miracles. He's already answered the big prayers. He's used up all of that. There's no more of that left over the people like Joshua and the early church of Acts. They kind of used up all of that powerful, incredible stuff. And we're just kind of left with the leftovers. That's a lie. That is such a lie. That is such wrong thinking. He's the same yesterday, today, and what does it say? Forever. Greater things are yet to come. You know, I think Jesus, what did he say? Hey, it's good that I go be with my Father. Why? Because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And why is that going to be great? Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to do not only the things that I was doing, but even greater things than these. Greater things. Do we believe Jesus? Do we take him at his word? Or do we continue to believe the lie that we're fed by the world and even from some in the church that, you know what, the glory days of God are kind of over and we're just kind of getting by and just kind of getting through it and so we can make our way to heaven. Oh, God, help us. Kind of felt like a Pentecostal preacher there. Oh, come on, are we? We're not here. No. God has greater things to do. It says in those last days that, man, that even our children are going to be prophesying, doing big things for God, speaking God's truth, seeing God move, the kingdom come. God's done big things. But I believe we haven't seen anything yet if we'll just believe and get on board with his plans. Okay, I'm just starting, so I'm going to have to run through the second half of this rather rapidly. Because now we're getting to the points. That was my introduction. Look, if we want to live this way, what's the next step? How do we begin to grab hold of audacious faith and actually live it out? Three things that we got to be aware of. First thing, audacious faith comes when we do three things. When we seize, when we activate, and when we move. And you're like, whoa, those kind of sound like faith words. They are. They're words of faith. They're words of action. Audacious faith actually starts to show up when we seize, when we activate, and when we move. If we want to see God do something big and powerful, we have to open up our minds to God's vision, to his plans for our lives. And then we actually seize his plans. We seize his plans. This is launching us into audacious faith now. We seize his plans when we hear God's word. So step number one is to seize. And that comes by hearing the word of God. We got to hear God's word. The foundation of audacious faith is God's word. Word. That's where faith starts. It has to start with God's word. It says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's where faith comes from. It comes from hearing God's word. Are you hearing enough of God's word? Oh, I don't know. Is my faith growing? I don't know if I've got strong faith. Am I growing in my faith? Well, are you hearing God's word enough? I'm not talking about hearing, just coming to church on Sunday and hearing a message. I'm talking about being in his word, devouring it, reading it, hearing the very words of God coming off of these pages in the Bible into your life, into your spirit, causing you to come alive. Are you hearing his word, his truth of who he is? You want to walk in audacious faith, man, you got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be hearing His Word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. If we won't embrace the big picture things, why should He show up in the details? You know what? That's something that I wanted to point out. I made that note to myself yesterday. If we don't embrace the big picture things, why do we expect He's going to show up in the details? Typically, where we go in faith right away is to the details. Oh, God, help me with this decision. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I go here or should I go there? Help me with this financial issue that's happening in my life. Help me understand and know which direction to go with choosing my children's school or their curriculum. Or, oh, God, help me with the details. We often just jump right into the details. But faith starts with the big picture. It starts with God's Word. It starts with coming into agreement with the big picture of God's plans for your life that are presented right here in His Word. Go and make disciples. Be a disciple. Make disciples. Obey everything that I've commanded you. Pray without ceasing. Love generously. Help widows and orphans. God's plans for your life, the big picture plans of who He's called you to be, are exciting. Faith has to start with that. Don't jump right into the details. Start with the big picture. Hearing from the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. That's the foundation of audacious faith. The second step in building and growing and living in this audacious faith is to activate. We activate God's vision and His purpose for our lives, and we begin to walk in this audacious faith when we speak God's Word. So number one, we seize this kind of audacious faith by what? Hearing God's Word. Then we activate that audacious faith by speaking God's Word. Hey, when I find myself in trouble, personally, I'm talking about myself here. When I find things not going well, when I find I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm getting all messed up in the head. Y'all have been there, right? I'm not the only one. You know, when things just feel like they're falling apart, you begin to worry. Maybe relationships are strained, whatever it might be. What I begin to do is I begin to speak God's Word over my life and over everyone involved in whatever the situation is. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a child of God. I speak God's Word. I remind myself who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. That is the old. I don't need to pick that up again. I don't need to live in that anymore. The old has passed away. The new has come. I'm choosing the new. I begin speaking the Word of God over my life. And those things that are messing with me start breaking off because the lies are being exposed, because the truth of God's Word, of who He is and who I am, are being spoken into that situation, into that relationship, into that issue. And everything is beginning to change. We seize audacious faith by hearing God's Word. We activate it. We actually start living it out by speaking His Word. It's important that we're in God's Word, that we hear it, so that we know it enough to be able to speak it. Because you know what? You don't always have your Bible right there with you and know, oh, what was that passage? What does God say about this area of my life? Now, if you have a smartphone, it's a little more accessible. But still, you got to know it. It needs to be on your lips. It needs to be in your heart and on your mind. It's the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. It's how we activate audacious faith. By speaking God's Word. Speaking His promises over our lives. Speaking His will that He's shown us in His Word over our lives. That's what Joshua did. He knew it was God's will to finish that battle. He just spoke God's will. It says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword." Let's go to number three. Let's finish up. So first we seize, then we activate, and the third thing we do is we need to move. We need to do something. We need to come into agreement with God's plans, and we need to actually step out and take action. Like Joshua. Like Joshua, we need to cross the river into God's plans. We need to go to battle. We need to pray and ask God for help. And we don't need to stop until the plans of God are finished. That's what Joshua did. If you look to Joshua 1, he heard the word of God in Joshua 1. He spoke the word of God in Joshua 1. The rest of it, he's walking it out. He seized it. He activated it right there in Joshua 1. The rest of the book is him moving and moving in that truth, moving in what God has said, coming into agreement to the place where he's walking into the land. He's walking around Jericho. He's seeing the walls come down. He's going to battle against the Amorites. He's getting it done, and he's doing it with confidence in God, not in himself. He's moving in faith. Moving. Oh, it's scary, but it's fun. That's where we see the miracles happen. That's where we see the sun stopping, when we actually begin to move. Too many people get a vision of God's plans. They even submit to the Lord, but then they fall short because they never take action. They never move. You know what I'm talking about. You know what God's calling you to. You know the plans he has, but you're like, oh, I don't know. It sounds scary to me. So sometimes we don't move and actually walk out that audacious faith. We don't move because we're fearful. And other times, it's because we want 100% confirmation before we move forward. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you that's part of fear. Fear is in that equation. We wait for 100% confirmation. Okay, God, should I do that? Okay, I hear that you want me to do that, but should I do it now? I'm not sure. Okay, I should do it now, but exactly how? Which, do I start with my right foot or do I start with my left foot? I need to hear it. I need confirmation on every single one of those before I move forward in anything. So what do we find? We find a bunch of Christians standing in the same place they were standing on the day that they received Christ as their Lord and Savior, because they're afraid to move out in anything because they're waiting for 100% confirmation and the confirmation of the confirmation and the confirmation of so on and so forth. If I waited for 100% confirmation, I probably wouldn't have gotten married. Velvet is beautiful. She's awesome. She's perfect for me. But 100% confirmation, and it's supposed to happen at this time in my life, on this day, in this way, I probably never would I have ever moved to Arizona. Would we have had four children? Or would we have had two or three or four? I don't know. I mean, 100% confirmation? We're talking about faith. We're talking about faith. We can very easily fall into analysis paralysis as Christians, and we can blame it on God. And we can play that, I'm looking for more confirmation card. Want another, throw another fleece out there. More confirmation, more confirmation. Meanwhile, we're just sitting around doing our own thing, not stepping out into the big and bold things that God's called us to, the hard things. The hard things. You know, God's called us to hard things, and that's good. Going against those five Amorite armies was a hard thing. But it's exactly what God called them to do, gave them everything they needed, and God was glorified, and they got to see the sun stop, time stand still for a day, because they said, yeah, we're going to do the bold, hard things. God's called us all the hard things. Don't think that because you became a Christian that now it's the easy life. No, it's the hard life, but it's the good life. Amen. The good life! Hallelujah. Look, I pray, I believe that I hear God. I really do. I don't make big decisions just flippantly. I don't. I'm very conservative. I listen to the Lord. I read His Word. I seek Him. I fast and pray. I want to know I'm in the will of God. I test everything to God's Word. Is this the big picture of what God's calling me to as a Christian? And then is this in alignment with the other things that God's calling me to? I seek counsel from mentors that I have in my life that I give access to speak into my life and ask them to pray over my life and pray with me through big things. But then there's that point when you just got to step out, when it's in alignment with God's Word, when it's in alignment with the things that He's been putting on your heart and birthing in your spirit. And you're 80% there. Yeah, I think it's God and I think it's now, but then it's just time to step out and go for it and trust God that He will stop the sun if that's what's needed. To trust God that He will provide the provision. If we would have waited to plant this church until we had all the money that we needed to plant it. Look, I didn't have a salary when I left the old church position into this one. Didn't know where the provision was going to come from. So, oh, well, God's saying wait then, because that's not all right there, all taken care of in the bank. No, God said go. I felt it enough in my spirit. I knew it, and there was confirmation. We stepped out, and God's provided everything we've needed. God's good. Be careful of analysis paralysis. I grew up in the Midwest. I'll tell this story really quick. Those of you who've been around woods, you know that there are deer in the woods, and you know they don't stay in the woods, that they like to run in the middle of the road, especially when it's nighttime. And when you're cruising down that road, those windy roads at night, and you come around the bend, there's a deer standing in the road, staring you right in the eyes. His eyes are glowing, and he doesn't move. It's like he doesn't know what to do. What's wrong with you? Move! You know you need to move. What kind of confirmation are you waiting for? Your life is in danger. You're going to get mowed over. And look, when we fall into that analysis paralysis like a deer in the headlights, it's very dangerous. We think we're on the right ground and that this is the right place to be to sit and wait and get more confirmation. And no! There's enough confirmation that we need to move out in faith and in boldness. And what's faith? It's confidence in God. Confidence in God. We're not foolish, but we're confident in God. Look, if you got 10%, 20% confirmation, man, don't jump off the edge of the ledge, all right? But you got 80%, you got people speaking into your life and praying over your life, man, go for it. If it's in line with God's word, then trust Him. We got to move forward. We can't become paralyzed. We were created to live with audacious faith. And God is still a God who stops the sun. He will move a mountain in order to accomplish His plans in your life. Believe God for those things. Believe Him for the bigger things. Live with this kind of audacious faith. Seize it. Hear His word. Be in His word. Activate it in your life. Speak His word over your life, over your relationships. Get fear out of your life by speaking the truth of God's word into your life and then move in it. Just step out and go for what God's called you to do after you've spent time in His Word, speaking it and praying it over your life. Then move in it and do it with confidence, continuing to listen to His voice, continuing to be in His Word, continuing to accept the guidance of the Holy Spirit the whole journey through this amazing life that we're blessed to live. I want to believe God for big things. I want to live with audacious faith.